This is Jim from Minorities Podcast. You guys got to check out meltingheartsusa.com. These are some of the best glasses you can get at a very affordable price, unlike designer shades, which don't even bother. Really, really great designs on some aviator glasses and all different frame styles, different lens colors, and it's a local company, which you should always support. So check it out. Go to meltingheartsusa.com and type in the Nordeast code for 20% off. Now you're getting them even cheaper. Some great shades, meltingheartsusa.com.
All right, you're listening to the Nordeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How's it going, guys?
Very well.
Dude, I feel good, man. This is our third pod of the week. Let's go.
Third pod of the week.
We're on fire right now.
Yeah. Make sure you go check them out. Obviously, we had our weekly sports cast. If you're into that thing, go check that out. Also, we had a special episode with Hi-Hi, one of the hot new restaurants in the Twin Cities. We're there trying their food, trying their drinks. It's one of the best places around, somewhere everyone should go try. So I'll give that episode a listen. And after we really pique your interest, you should definitely go out and give Hi-Hi a shot.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, an amazing experience, fantastic food, hospitality, second to none.
Yeah.
So it was incredible.
Really exciting stuff. And another thing that's really exciting is when you guys give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Nordeast Podcast. Also, give us a subscription on iTunes, Podbean, Overcast, Stitcher, all the great places you can get podcasts free, all 2018, the Nordeast Podcast. Help support us a bit. And if you really want to support us, I think we still have a couple beanies and hats, Nordeast Podcast hats that you can wear around. They're $10 a piece. Let us know. Send us a message, hit us up on social media, send us an email at nordeastpodcast@gmail.com and reserve your hat today. They look great. We get compliments on them all the time. And we'd love to have you guys support us. And $10, that's pocket change to you guys.
That's like cost. That's it.
No, it really is.
You're not going to get a better hat deal in the Twin Cities.
Right.
Anywhere. And it's a killer logo. Yeah. And we have multiple.
Yeah. It's got options.
$10. Give me a break. Come on.
Yeah, so there you go.
Imagine if a brewery was selling their trucker hats for $10 a piece.
They wouldn't have any.
They wouldn't keep them in stock.
Yeah.
So hit us up. We'll hook you up.
All right, guys. So today we're going to do a screencast where we're going to talk about some of the hot news. We're going to give our Oscar 2018 picks, which last year Jimmy Channels was 8 for 8.
I don't see that happening again, we'll get pretty close to
you're
that.
You're like Nate Silver.
Except for I use mostly gut checks instead of advanced statistics.
But the stats are all up in your head.
They're there. I don't actually have
to
put them on a spreadsheet to use them.
Yeah, Rain Man didn't use a calculator either, but he was doing just fine mathematically. So I think
I actually
that's
have
where
the social skills of Rain Man too, so I like that comparison.
All right, before we do that though, we have a really fun beer in front of us. Ryan, what are we drinking today?
Holy shit, this thing's interesting. The Ode Bruin. I don't know if that means like old, whatever, something. It's a Belgian-style sour from Funkworks in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Back to Funkworks.
Back to Funkworks. Back to Funky. Holy crap.
This is Funky Town.
I mean, it's a Belgian sour. Mm-hmm. It's yeasty. It's sour. It's really tasty. 7.5% ABV. So a little bit higher. Man, I think this is really good. It's aged in oak barrels. For 2 years.
Wow.
So it's kind of low.
That's why you paid that
well,
for it.
Excuse me, up to 2 years. So maybe this is one of the ones that was, you know, six months to a year or something
maybe
like that.
Maybe it was one that was like a week and a half.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, but, you don't get this flavor on a week and a half.
Yeah, man, it's
you know,
different.
There's a reason you hear Belgian sour, those words put together, because it just goes really well.
Mm-hmm.
And this beer is good. It's like a dark color, but it honestly, if it was like a crisp golden color, would you even know the difference? I mean, it doesn't taste dark. It doesn't taste oaky. It does a little bit, which I like. But it's really crisp.
Yeah, very good beer. Eric, your thoughts?
Crisp and very sour. Like, mm-hmm.
Get those jaw muscles.
Yeah.
I love that little
tight. It's like a warhead. I mean, it's a very, very sour beer, but it's great. And it's a company that's doing it right. It looks, to me, it's a lot like some of the finest beers we've gotten from Fair State. Mm-hmm. So that's high praise.
It's like what Fair State could be sort of modeling their business after.
Yeah, definitely. Bit. And so I think it's really good. They kind of knocked it out of the park. Not what I expected. I mean, I've had some like brown sours before, and that's kind of what I was expecting before I heard more about it. But yeah, it's fantastic. Really happy to try this one. Funkworks, always doing fun stuff.
That was the best beer talk you've given. You're either getting better or you're trying harder, but I appreciated it.
Oh, I'm just trying not to say juicy anymore.
Okay.
I've gotten the feedback that I say juicy every time.
This one is juicy. It's
pretty juicy.
Well, to be fair, we were drinking a lot of like Northeast style juicy IPAs.
And I'm sure we'll continue to do that.
And you guys would be like,
some of the best beers I have the time are like that.
The nose and the head and blah, 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 blah. And like all these notes you're getting from it. And then you're like, what do you think? And I'm like, all right, well.
I don't think we've ever said notes. I feel like once you say notes, that's like now you're an asshole.
And so it's like you guys go through these incredible descriptions of it, and then I'm just listening like a fan myself.
You're like, yeah, it's juicy, so moving on.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, actually, they're right. That is what I'm tasting here. And then you're like, throw it on me. So,
well, I don't know if that's...
Well played.
I don't know if that's a knock on Eric's take on beer or us, because I feel like my beer reviews are as generic as possible, and then Eric thinks that there's some elite-level beer reviewing. So... Eric, I think you're selling yourself just a little bit short on your beer reviews, and I think we're going to throw it to you first moving forward.
Yeah.
I think that's the best option for podcast. With you.
Well, let's talk beer here quickly. So yesterday I went to the 9th annual Winter Beer Dabbler at the State Fairgrounds, and it was full of adventure. If you guys were following our Facebook story at all.
It's Instagram.
I'm sorry, Instagram.
Same
story.
Company, technically.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to watch me go through the whole day from it's not really snowing out to we're in 6 inches of snow. It's
like,
dark and
there
cold.
There actually is a quarter inch of snow on your hat, so we know it's snowing.
No, it was wild, and it was a lot of fun. I have to say I'm just a total idiot, and honestly, I went with some good friends of the pod, Billy and Tyler. They went with me. They had planned it like a month in advance. I had never been to this before. All right. So I didn't understand that because it was on the state fairgrounds that there was like a limit of tickets. I just assumed like it's outside.
They'd be thrilled to sell as many as they can.
Infinite tickets. And so I showed up, got driven to meet up with these guys on the way to go. And before we left, I was like, do you guys already have your tickets or are we all going to have to wait in line? And they were like, we got our tickets like a month ago.
It's sold out, dude.
It's sold out. So we were all panicked.
Well, first of all, let's touch on this for a second. Billy and Tyler.
Yeah.
Why didn't you ask your friend if he had a ticket?
I'm sure they did.
No, it's assumed.
They probably
dude.
Did.
It's
I mean,
you know, so I've never been, and I very much understand. Get them early as early as you can.
So with that in mind, I'm going to guarantee they sent Eric a text and he got it on his Apple Watch and completely ignored it.
Probably
never responded.
Apple Watch is the biggest curse to your communication.
It really is. The Apple Watch kind of kills me on that.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that thing.
So yeah, I showed up, no ticket, and I was just optimistic it would work out. And when I got down there, right outside the gate, there were about 30 to 40 people who didn't have tickets who were looking to buy a ticket. And I was like, this is bad news.
Not looking good. The circle of douchebags.
So pretty much we're standing there and, you know, morale is low.
Did you get notes of panic?
Yes.
Was anybody else hanging with you or were you just sort of like
No, I was with one person maybe. The three of us were kind of standing there waiting to go in. Morale was low. And then out of nowhere, this like nice older guy.
Guardian angel?
Yeah. He was just like, does anyone need a ticket? And like everyone like tried to put their hand out and like say something at the same time, but Tyler is like 7.5 feet tall and loud, and so he was like, this guy, and
he's like Tormund Giantsbane.
Yeah, he is. And so
less ginger but same body concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the guy comes over, and the tickets were $45. They're $55 at the door if they would have been for sale at the door, which they weren't. And the guy was like this super nice older guy, and he was just like, yeah, my wife didn't want to come because of the weather, looking to sell it. I was like, yeah, I'll take it. And he was like, you know, they're $45. It is the day of, and it was $45. So how about 40? I was like, deal. Yeah. I mean, you can't take it back now that you said that. You said 40.
Like, listen, I don't know if
other people are overhearing, like, I'll do 80. Yeah. Like, no, shut the fuck up.
Do you know
here's,
we just
money,
had,
here's the money.
You know, we just had the Super Bowl here. You clearly weren't with any of those scalpers.
Yeah. Like, you're not very good at this.
So I got in. The guy was super kind. Got in. We tried everything. And it was just the most Minnesotan thing of all time. I mean, it was a blizzard. The snow was coming down. It was freezing cold. And everybody was out there in, you know, a light jacket and getting just absolutely pounded by the snow and the wind.
And the alcohol. I understand people just get wasted at this thing.
They do. And it's funny. It really sneaks up on you because you have this tiny little glass that you have to use at every single stand.
Was it a 3 or 4 ounce glass probably?
Yeah. And every single thing that you get is, you know, absolutely everything is free. And the lines are about 2 minutes long, maybe less, to get the beer. And there were hundreds and hundreds of breweries there. And so, I mean, we tried everything, talked to a lot of our favorite breweries, tried some really fun things. My friend Billy, who was there with me, he was really excited. He had a whole list of places he wanted to try. Okay. And he was checking all these places off of the list. His only issue is that everything was too spicy for him.
So he had a problem with the infusions.
Yeah, beer was just too spicy for him. I mean, it was just countless beers where he was like, too spicy. Like, we got to dump this out.
I mean, he's like my Norwegian grandmother. That
it's like
was
they
like,
sprinkled cayenne into the boil. Like, chill out.
So,
well, my grandmother's like, there's pepper in this. This is too hot for me to eat.
So that was him. Yeah. So I was giving him a hard time, but it was a blast. We had so much fun. If you were watching the videos, you probably noticed they got, you know, less
snowier and snowier,
snowier, drunker and darker. And I'm, you know, we had a great time. I'll definitely go back. I think next time it needs to be a Nordy's podcast field trip.
I'll pledge myself to be there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the three of us need to go out and make it happen next time. It was a blast. It was a great time. Great showcase of beer from all across the world, all across the country, but definitely all the finest beers from the Twin Cities.
I mean, well, what a Minnesota experience, right? I mean, so we're burgeoning on spring.
Yeah.
And I don't think any amount of snow was going to stop Minnesotans from going to this thing other than that guy's wife, right? Which
that's
ended
like
up
the
working
only
out
one, and then Eric got that ticket. That's a miracle.
Yeah. So I think it's really a shout out to true Minnesotans who are like, yeah, there's a winter storm coming. Whatever. We'll deal with it. No big deal. Shout out to the Nordy's podcast hats covered in snow on Eric's head right now. Looks like it didn't even have a drop of snow on it
at
all.
And people held up really people well. Recognized it. They were like, hey, it's a great hat. It's a great podcast. Can we be on your podcast? I said, you better make some damn good beer if you're going to be on.
Well, speaking of that, Drekker sounds like everybody's sort of obsessed with them, and they should be on maybe, I don't know. We're kind of like booked out to like April, but maybe in April.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, we kind of found them, I think, before a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Well, cool. But now they're like crazy. They're like releasing, they have like 8 beautiful looking cans that they're pushing all the time. I mean,
it's like
they're
our
going as hard as you can.
It's like our favorite band that got really popular all of a sudden, and we're kind of upset about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Good for them.
Glad you had a good time. Glad you made it in by the hand of God.
Yeah.
That Johnny Old Guy happened to walk by.
Johnny Old Guy was a savior, and it was funny because he was more excited about it than anything. I overheard him as I walked away, and he was like, how great was that? Like, that was just such a great moment. Like, I'm so glad I got to make that guy's day. And then I was standing next to him. He's like, this guy right here.
And there were like, 40 other people in line that wanted to beat the shit out of you and then, take your ticket.
And then he looked at me, and I hope this guy's listening right now, because he was just a wonderful
person.
If
I know anything about old people, they love podcasts.
He was like, he looked
at
me.
If I know anything about old people, they know what a podcast is.
He was like, you know what? This moment, this just happened for a reason. This was like a synergy between the two of us. I was like, dude, you literally could have made twice the money off of anybody else here, but thank you. I appreciate you. So
that's
great
awesome.
Time. Happy to be there. It was a great event. It was the most Minnesotan thing ever. Like I said on the video I made, it looked like a fucking wildling camp. Yeah. Like we were just in the middle of a blizzard and there were just hundreds of people.
Just huddled up, snow on their furs.
Yeah, exactly. And so next time I go, though, I think I'm going to go dressed as a Night's Watch member.
I mean, that would work, but it very well could be like 40 degrees and sunny.
Yeah.
With like very little snow on the ground. I mean, the weather this time of year, you never know. That was very fluky.
You were bitching about the cost of Uber to us via text. I can't imagine what you'd have to spend on like a full blown, like fur pullover, like shawl. Yeah, but it'd be
worth it. It would be worth it.
Okay, that expense is fine.
Eric could use that every year for something.
I'm sure right before your wedding, Laura would love for you to spend $400 on an outfit to wear to the beer dabbler.
He's in the outdoors. Maybe he'll go kill a bear. We don't know. We don't know how he's going to procure these furs.
Sure.
All right, guys.
Who are we to question?
So, time to move on to our screencast this week.
The point of the podcast? Okay.
Yeah, we went way off the tracks there, but that's okay.
Yeah.
The people needed to hear that.
Yeah, they did. So here we go. We're going to move to our coming soon segment, and as always, we'll play Do We Care? First Do We Care of the week, Josh Whedon is off of Batgirl.
It's Joss.
That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said Josh.
No, he has a lisp. You leave him alone.
Oh, I have a Joss.
I mean, I care. I think I'm disappointed. It's almost laughable at this point that DC has nothing going for it, and maybe the nail in the coffin at this point that, like, everybody was like, well, a lot of these movies suck, but when you look forward, at least they have Joss Whedon coming in with, like, a really probably very cool idea for a Batgirl movie that's going to be different, and he's like, nah, I'm not going down with this ship. Peace.
Yeah, it's a sinking ship.
Was Batgirl meant to be, like, the counter to Captain Marvel?
Maybe, or I don't know. I think what it really was that, like, Joss Whedon really likes that character, and he's into those comics, and he wanted to make a movie until he realized it would suck if he made it with DC.
Wow.
So I really think that's what happened.
That seems like the most likely option.
Yeah. Can you guys think of another franchise that is spending more money on a worse product at any point in movie or TV history?
What was the one with the CGI bulldog? The new
I wouldn't, you know, that's a TV little venture. I mean, I guess, like, you know, the Transformers movies haven't been good in a long time, and they're still spending a lot of money, but so do these movies do make money.
So it's Transformers just that, like, might be a good example.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean might be another example. I know you are.
But they were good to begin with. Transformers, even, you know, Michael Bay is what it is, right? Lens flares out the yin yang and terrible acting and terrible
slow-mo at odd times.
Right.
We get it.
But the first Transformers movie was
very good,
decent, entertaining. Yeah. Like, it was fun. Like, there were stakes that were believable. And same with Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, Curse of the Black Pearl was incredible. The second one. I forget the title of it, but that was really good too. It got worse, but it wasn't untenable.
I kind of still like those.
I know you do.
I still watch.
You think they've
gotten
better? You think they've gotten better? But this is just like they can't even keep the directors.
No,
that's brutal.
I think it's bad.
They've lost Batman.
Yeah, they lost Batman.
They shouldn't have had that Batman, but.
But still, I mean, the directors and the characters are all jumping off. Saying, like, this is a sinking ship. And honestly, I mean, there's too much money. There are too big a names that are connected to this for it to be such a failure, especially with who they're trying to compete with. And to me, what I think is so weird about it is that everyone from the fans to the studio to the actors and actresses are trying to, like, justify it. Like, oh, they're just building a universe, and that's why this movie sucked.
No, they're not building a universe. They never did. That's their problem.
No, but I think, like, there's been just so many excuses, like, this movie was bad, but that was just to set up this good movie that's going to come out. And it's like, it's just been like a constant, like, yeah, we know that this one was bad, but the next one's going to be great. And that's been going on the entire time.
And where's our good movie?
There hasn't been one.
I mean, well, with one exception, of course, Wonder Woman.
Oh, Wonder Woman was very good.
Yeah. So,
but that was because they didn't really have any of those other characters in there. I mean, that universe didn't really exist in that. It was a one-off.
Absolutely a one-off movie that we'll see what happens when they try to do it again. So,
They need to shut it down.
They need to shut it down.
Let Patty Jenkins do her
thing. Let's move on, and I'll end on this. I'll say they need to cancel pre-productions in general and hold off on any movies that haven't sunk too much cost in until Marvel takes just a momentary dip between when they wrap this thing up with Avengers 2 in 2020 or Avengers 4 at that point, and when they, like, really sort of relaunch their next phase and come in hot at that point.
I just think also, though, that they need to admit defeat.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to say,
hey, look, fans.
We know.
We're
going to stop pretending.
They're going to have Aquaman.
It's going to be bad.
They're going to have Wonder Woman 2.
Flash will be bad.
Flash will be bad.
Yep.
Cyborg will be horrible. Batman will be horrible. Whatever Superman does is going to be terrible.
All these spin-off Joker movies.
They're going to be
no
so
faith.
Bad. And they're just wasting our time, their time, their money. It's all going to be bad. I wish that right now that they would just say, hey, we're going to keep Wonder Woman and we're going to get rid of everyone else. We're sorry. We know that these characters are important to some of you guys. We know that these characters are capable of being in incredible movies. And obviously we were wrong. And we're not going to waste your time anymore. These phases are done, and mm-hmm. we're going to do a full reboot. We'll see you in a year and a half.
Yeah.
And then they come out with brand new movies, with new directors, with new vision, with building a universe, not starting with like old characters already. I mean, that's
like a small movie. Make like a smaller movie of with one of your like you
like
want
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I don't need a Batman origin story, but why not start with a young Batman? Why not start with young Batman that you could have for 10, 15 movies where it's a guy who's maybe in his late 20s, even early 30s, and it's kind of the beginning of him. He's already Batman. We don't need to see the
but
same.
He's not flawless Batman. No. He's not like, you know, the guy that never makes mistakes like we always see now.
Yeah, no, he's like Batman who's just kind of learning the ropes and has just become like a famous crime fighter in some of his earliest battles, you know? And it's like they could take the stories or similar stories from the Arkham video games, which everyone thinks are brilliant, mm-hmm. and they could have it where the villains are the same Batman villains in that universe, and he's just trying to lock them up. And, you know, they could start over. But instead they were like, we could get Ben Affleck, but he's kind of old already. Why don't we just start our universe on, like the what should have been, you know, the fourth set of movies.
He already has joint pain. We're going to lead with joint pain.
He's like sore already. It's just like, we don't need that. And so I wish that they would just admit defeat. I wish they would just start over. They could bring in some really fun directors, some fun young actors and actresses. And I don't think they need to necessarily go with star power. I mean, if anything, some of the biggest franchises in the world, Harry Potter and Star Wars, have proven that you don't need to go out and get the biggest actors and actresses. Go get people who are really good at being like, diving into a character. They're kind of underrated. Mm-hmm. Bring those people in. Bring in some unknowns who are going to be known for being your character. And then bring in the best people to write and direct.
I think the best thing you said there was they're going to be known for being your character. Instead of seeing a character or an actor and be like, yep, that's just Jake Gyllenhaal, son of a bitch.
Yeah, and it's like,
he's one of the names that keeps coming up. Right. Like, here's
for
the guy.
Like the new Batman.
Right, or he could play Robin. Like, no, Jake Gyllenhaal
is fucking Jake
100
Gyllenhaal.
Other people. Right, yeah, bring in a Daisy Ridley or a John Boyega to use the Star Wars example of people who are kind of unknown. They had a couple things here and there, but not anywhere near the blockbuster that we would like them to see them in.
See, I would like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. I guess I'd probably keep Wonder Woman because I think they kind of knocked it out of the park with that one.
But she was unknown as an actress until then.
She was relatively unknown.
That was a great cast.
She's one that I would definitely keep, but it's just like how their universe even looks is like something that we thought was cool like 15 years ago, where everything is CG, nothing looks real, everything is like moving in, you know, the background is always like a color.
That was the brilliance of the Christopher Nolan Batman stuff, is a lot of it wasn't that. They had gone down the road of the comic book, like comic-y.
He moved as far from
Jim
CG
Carrey
as he could.
Yeah, right. It went from that like stupid, dumb, like puppets almost to real people. And then now they're slowly sliding back into way too much CG, way too much garbage. Whereas Marvel did it in a very good way that made it seem like it was realistic. The stakes seemed real. It was all doable. And this is just like, it's not what we want to see. Like you said, they're moving backwards and it sucks. It sucks because they have some of the best characters out there.
Reboots hurt. They hurt the studios and they hurt the fans, and we need it. So fuck it.
I don't know exactly what the timeline would be or where they would go together. But like the Dark Knight and the original Marvel movies, you would have expected that DC would have been whooping by this point.
Absolutely.
They were way ahead, and they went from a huge lead to an insurmountable deficit.
To like quit, just give up.
All right, so
should we keep going for like another 10 minutes?
I mean, that was
We obviously
ended on a really good point, though.
All right, Bill Hader, HBO show, Barry. What do we know about it, and do we care?
I'm going to say, let me preface a little bit. HBO, we always pay attention, right? It's synonymous with quality, with interesting concepts, with big name talent, big budgets, generally well received. This one, it's kind of like a half hour comedy format. It's like a hitman who discovers his true calling as a amateur actor, and he wants to come up in the acting game. And I wasn't impressed by the trailer. I don't know that I'll give it more than I watch everything once or twice, but I don't see myself watching all of it. What do you guys think?
I didn't hate the trailer, like, and maybe it's a Bill Hader thing. And yeah. I feel like when you cast a former SNL person,
right,
or someone who
and
is,
that is a typecast thing, but I generally like those guys and girls,
right? But I mean, I feel like that you're automatically diverging the audience right there, right? A lot of times it can be, I didn't like that guy. Who's the guy on Last Man on Earth? I forget his name. The Fox show.
Not Fred Armisen.
No.
But the third dude.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Shit.
I don't like that show, too.
Right. But a lot of people don't find him funny. Some people probably don't find Bill Hader funny. I think he's funny. I think the concept is so unique that it could work. I don't think HBO would just throw this show out willy-nilly. It could be another Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Could be another Veep in terms of comedy quality. I don't know who's writing, but I would assume Bill Hader is probably writing a lot of it. I find him funny. I think I'll give it at least two or three episodes just to see how it goes.
Yeah.
It's a half an hour.
I hope it's like, you know, better than Crashing. Pete Holmes' show, which I didn't stick
with at all. Pete
Holmes
is not funny.
Right. And Bill Hader is. So I hope it's good. I'm going to at least watch it. I think it'll be out in a couple months and we'll see, but not like crazy sold about it. So do I care? Sure, because it's HBO.
I care only because it's HBO. I'll check it out because it's HBO.
Yep.
They do really well with their comedies.
They have good comedies.
They have good comedies.
All right. Jared Leto will be starring in a Netflix movie, The Outsider. Did I get that right? The Outsider?
Yeah, The Outsider.
And I'm sorry. Did I hear that this is... there's some people who are upset with the character he's playing?
I don't know. Maybe he's like the outsider because he's a white dude in Japan, and apparently he's the coolest person in Japan now, at least in this movie. I mean, look, Netflix, maybe, I don't know if we're going to have time for a mute review or not, but I've lost all faith in Netflix movies. I think that it's the new direct DVD is Netflix at this point, after I've seen one after another of hyped up Netflix movies just bombing. And this one, they've done almost no hyping. For a Jared Leto movie who should be a big-name star, and they're releasing it like early March, it seems weird, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm not excited about it. I mean, it looks like a kind of a, you know, cool, violent white guy ripping it up in Japan, navigating the culture, wearing a black suit with a skinny black tie. I don't know. Not into it.
People are annoyed by it. So it's a... Jared Leto is a U.S. soldier captured during the final days of World War II. He's imprisoned and he gets released and he becomes part of the Yakuza.
Sure.
Who is like a...
The crime family.
Yeah, like the mob. The mafia. And he becomes like the leader, like a local leader. And people are really annoyed that they had to make a Japanese crime show where the leader was a white American guy.
Yeah.
It's sort of like probably how they felt about The Last Samurai.
But Jared Leto, he wears kimonos. So, I mean, he's pretty much Japanese. Yeah. I'm sick of Jared Leto. I'm sort of sick of Netflix movies. I don't care about this.
You know what's crazy? We might have to add another, because of the lack of quality from the Netflix movies, which I completely agree with, we might have to add another layer to our rating scale, because just because it comes to Netflix... Or because it's free like that, doesn't mean I'm going
to
watch it
anymore. Like, watching on Netflix used to be the second to last level. And now it's like, well,
but
maybe it still is.
With this, when it's straight to Netflix, it's not an auto watch anymore.
No.
Whereas when they had...
It is for me, because I'm an idiot.
Well, when they had a little bit more measured take on their content, where they were, I'm not going to say selective with the movies that they were producing, but there were fewer... And now they're just like throwing money at anybody that has a decent script and has one or two relatively big name actors attached to that.
Boom.
And a reasonable director, like not a no name person, but maybe like, oh, he's done one other movie. Done.
Yep.
A $50 million budget, whatever, do your thing. They all kind of suck now. And it's unfortunate.
I mean, I've watched a lot of bad movies on Netflix recently.
And are you done?
No. Okay. I'll watch this movie.
He's gonna keep.
I mean, here's the thing. It's rare for me to shut a movie off after 45 minutes because I'm sort of like, well, now I'm invested. What if it has a great ending? And then I'm just like, well, that was a waste of time.
And you're like, I deserve that.
Yep. That's what happened with Mute.
You're the anti-Eric.
Because
Eric won't watch good movies. You're right. Watching all of the trash.
I feel like I've seen all the good movies. I'm sure there's listeners out there that are like, I heard you Except once say Dunkirk. That you haven't. But that's on my list of like when it's free, I'll watch it for sure.
Anyway.
I'll see Dunkirk.
All right. Next up, we have Lost in Space reboot on Netflix.
So Netflix makes better TV than movies.
Yeah.
And this might be fine.
They do.
I'll check it out. It looks pretty good. It's got some good actors in it. I don't know. What do you guys think? Were you guys ever into Lost in Space?
No.
The C-grade version of, you know, Star Trek.
I feel like this is like if they rebooted Quantum Leap kind of thing. Like, it'll look a little cooler and there might be some...
The trailer looked pretty cool. Like, their spacesuits look sweet. Did you see it? Did you see the trailer?
No, I'm not
interested. Just don't care. This is a do not care. I think it's a do not care for me.
It's a do not care for me.
If it's do not care for you, maybe we should just go.
Let's go.
Is this like Expanse light kind of?
No, because it'll be more bubbly and like, yeah.
It's going to be, was really, always a family it's gonna be show. Really bad.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you know, no. Danger Will Robinson, we get it. We've seen it.
Boring.
All right. Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Do you care?
It's an interesting trend. I mean, they're making a Mario movie. So Illumination, you know, the guys that make really the worst animated movies are making a Mario movie. And now Paramount is getting in the game with a Sonic movie. This is like due, you know, late 2019. So we're not going to see this anytime, but it's interesting that these properties have waited this long to get like a big movie besides the live action Mario movie that just was pretty horrible. Yeah. I saw that one, right?
Well, like, I mean, so interestingly enough, you know, we've talked about Ready Player One. And I think they're going to, like, it could be a setup to, I'm not going to say blend the, you know, reality with virtual reality type of situation. Mm-hmm. But maybe they're trying to broach those genres to see what they get.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying Sonic's going to be good or that I care. I'm definitely,
or that the same studios are involved in any way.
You know what I mean? But, like, maybe they're just sort of dipping their toe in the water to see if anything good comes out of it. And then they can take it up a notch and... produce better quality. I don't know. Because, you know, what was the Warcraft movie that was garbage, horribly reviewed? Every time they try
Same
a video game
that
movie.
Same guy that directed Mute, by the way.
Yeah, oh, no, guys, I know for a fact this movie's going to be terrible.
Oh, it's going to be terrible. Yeah, it's gonna be bad. I'm just saying they're trying to dip their toe in the water with the animated part to see if anything catches on.
I'm sorry, is it going to look more like Lego Batman?
No, those movies are good.
Or is it going to look... No, I'm saying just visually. Is it going to look more like Lego Batman, or is it going to look like the Ninja Turtles movies?
Nothing looks like Lego Batman. It'll be... I mean, that looks like Legos moving. That's
No, but my question
like
is, like, is
like
it all...
quality animation
Is it all animated,
CG?
Or are there, like, actual it'll
be,
human
no,
beings
it'll be absolutely
it?
All animated. Okay. This and the Mario movie that's coming out, both, like, you know, just computer-generated animation. You know, I guess it would be kind of cool if the movie was decent, because I'll probably end up having to see it, because it'll be... My kids want to watch it, yeah. So, like, I hope it's good. I like a good kids animated movie. When they're good, it's fun. But, yeah, this one's going to suck.
Yeah, no, it's going to be terrible. Next up, do we care? It has Jessica Chastain in the sequel. Do we care?
I think it's news. I think it's cool. I mean, we were really into the It movie. It was a big production. Really excited. The movie was way better than anybody thought. It's the highest grossing horror movie of all time. And one of the star characters, Beverly, they've cast as Jessica Chastain, which I think is, I mean, obviously they probably would have grabbed Amy Adams if they could have. But, well, you got the B-grade version of Amy Adams with Jessica Chastain. And yeah, I'm excited.
I think you got the better actor.
Oh, you think? Than Amy Adams?
Yeah, or actress, excuse me.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Amy Adams has like a one level.
Yeah, but she's like Oscar winning or at least nominated.
I don't like her.
You don't like her?
You think
she's too boring?
I think she's a bad actress.
Oh, wow, interesting.
I think she's just one tier. I think that's it. I mean, she Lois Who, Lane versus girl from Arrival are kind of the same
Who's
person.
Ron Howard's daughter? That's in the
Bryce Dallas. Park.
Bryce Dallas Howard's like she's C grade, right? So like that's the order it goes in. But I think Amy Adams is the best of these kind of like same age redhead women that take the same roles.
Nah, Amy Adams to me is like the studio is trying to tell me that she's good and that I like her and I don't.
Damn. All right. Well, I like that. Look, I mean, I think it's good. It's good. It means the movie will be semi-serious. It's good casting. It makes me very interested to see as more and more... every one of these characters from like the seven Losers Club kids will be an actor you know and have heard of. They're not going to go unnamed. They'll go with like kind of bigger actors. It'll be interesting. So I think it's kicking off casting really well.
All right.
I think I care. I'm just excited about the movie. Yeah. It's going to be great. As long as they stay away from that like jig. Like that weird like fiery jig that...
You didn't like that?
No, that was weird. Finally, Ryan Coogler, who's become a pretty much a household name with his work here on Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing a new movie. His next movie has been announced. It's with Michael B. Jordan for like the seventh movie in a row. And yep. It's called Wrong Answer. I think it's five, though.
Well, so, I mean, if I can think of it, he did Fruitvale Station, really good. Michael B. Jordan, he did Creed. Michael B. Mm-hmm. Jordan, he did Black Panther. Michael B. Jordan is the villain. Other. And there was one other one?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know that one. And then now he's doing Wrong Answer. And this is going to be like not an action movie at all. But it's really weird. Ryan, I'm looking at you because it's a testing industry, education testing industry movie. And I work at a testing company I have for a while. It's a weird job. I get it. And when I first started working there, you know, people would talk about this thing that happened in Atlanta. And pretty much what happened was the testing under George Bush was so intense, and there were so many rules and so many consequences for your scores that people cheated in heavy, heavy doses. And they would team up. It was a whole entire schools of teachers would get together and change answers. Or they would open up the test materials early and, you know, teach the test in the last 2 weeks before they started testing. And it was absolutely crazy.
Well,
now they're making a movie about just that. And it will be told from the teacher's perspective. Michael B. Jordan will be a teacher. So it's very much like, you know, these are our heroes here. And, you know, they broke the law, like it or not. But they also were under very extreme circumstances. So, it's interesting. It's weird for that combo to go from Black Panther to this. What do you guys think?
Well, Eric, you're a teacher, so I don't know if you were teaching during Race to the Top. You probably weren't.
No.
That was such a big deal because a previous company that I worked for we pulled information on students and demographics that was sent to the state, which was then sent to the federal government for funding. So anytime there's funding attached to performance within schools, you can probably expect something like this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was nixed eventually, because it's hard, like school districts are scraping by to get money for art supplies, and you say, we could get another $100,000 if these, however many students pass these tests at this level, it's hard to think that, like, yeah, maybe we should just open up the test material and then we'll talk about it just a little bit. Yeah. You know, it's not really cheating. We're just teaching them information that they already need to know for school. It's part of the test.
Yeah.
So they're going to be like anti-heroes because they cheated, but in the same vein, they're doing it for the right reasons.
That's what the whole thing will be. I mean, it's based off the New York Times article that was very like sympathetic to the teacher's plight.
Yeah. And I think
as it should be.
Atlanta Public Schools stood out because they were like the biggest... I don't know if you want to say...
It was a massive case, yeah.
I don't want to say probably the largest amount of students impacted, so maybe that's why it got the most press. I don't know the entire story.
Right.
But I'm, like you said, I guarantee there's 1,000 other school districts that were doing the same exact thing because of this Race to the Top initiative, which had so much money and funding attached to it.
Yeah.
And that's also a knock on superintendents and school board people that had a lot of money coming their way too for their own raises. So
yeah,
they're not going to be all innocent in this either. So it's a really interesting concept. I'm excited to see what Ryan Coogler can do because everything that he's done to date has been incredible. I'm sure it's going to be good.
I mean, it'll be way more in line with Fruitvale Station, which was about a short period of time. It was about some people killed by police at a station in, I think, San Francisco or something. So it'll be more in line with that. You know, it's interesting the impact that has had on the testing industry. It's like even now we do what's called erasure analysis to see like the different gradients to see if something was erased. We can tell that with the scanners and change to a right answer. And if that happens enough, there's something fishy going on and there's an investigation. And that all happened because of this Atlanta thing. So it's just weird to see something hit home for that, and then to have these two dudes teaming up on it. You know, it's probably going to be one of those possible Oscar contenders. We'll see. So yes, I care about this one.
I didn't care until you guys just went on and told me how much I should care about it. So,
All right,
guys, time to move on to the moment you've all been waiting for. It's our Oscars picks, 2018 Oscars picks. Jimmy Channels, 8 for 8 last year. I don't think he can live up to that again this year.
No, I don't think so. That was weird.
When you say our Oscar picks, like Eric, like yours and I picks matter at all? They don't.
Well, did you guys make picks, or are you going to make them as I
read them? No, I don't even know what's up for it yet. So
that's fine.
Whatever you put up, I'll give you my best guess.
I'll make picks with you.
So I'll go through. I think I'm going to do 10 this year, if you guys are cool with that.
Let's do it.
Because there's some fun ones. So I'll run through 10, and we'll see what we think, and I guarantee I will not get 10 for 10. But we'll see how close we can get, right?
All right, let's do it.
All right, so I'm going to start with something kind of fun, the animated feature. And I feel like this is just always goes to the Disney movies. So out of Boss Baby, The Breadwinner, Coco, Ferdinand, or Loving Vincent, what would you guys go with?
So because of the sort of international level that this film rose to, I'm going to go Ferdinand. I think the consensus pick is obviously Coco, mm-hmm. but I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going Ferdinand.
Okay.
I think it's Coco, and it's easy.
Yeah, it's Coco for 100%. Jimmy Channel's pick was Coco.
I know it's Coco.
So I'll jump over to some that maybe people don't care about quite as much, but I'm always interested in it. And we'll do the two writing ones. We didn't do these last year, but I'll knock these out. So writing, adapted screenplay, Call Me By Your Name, The Disaster Artist, Logan, which is really, really cool that it was nominated for at least something, right? I mean, we loved Logan. We thought, hey, if there's a comic movie going to be nominated for something,
it's going to be Logan.
And
yeah.
It got an adapted screenplay. Pretty cool. Molly's Game, another Jessica Chastain, by the way. And then Mudbound, a Netflix movie that actually was pretty good. And we probably,
well received.
And you reviewed it well, so yeah. We shouldn't sell them short completely. Go ahead and make your picks. I'll do mine.
I'm going to go just because of the hype, just because of the cult love for the original that now stands. I'm going to say The Disaster Artist.
Okay.
I hope so much that it's Logan, because it would be so great to see a truly well-written, well-acted superhero movie that was great on it in every way win an award like this and be recognized in a way that it deserves to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't be. It will be The Disaster Artist.
I disagree. I don't get to pick. I'm not picking on what I want it to be. I'm picking what I think it will be. I go with Call Me By Your Name, because guess what? It's not going to win that much else, and it's up for a lot of other stuff. That's a trend you're going to see in the next one, which writing, original screenplay. The Big Sick, Barter, you're a fan. Get Me Out, fan. Eric, you're a fan. Lady Bird, The Shape of Water, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. I love original screenplays so much, because that's like writer-director stuff. That's what I love, right? Go for it, Barter. What you got? These are ones that are like, I think
never seen
all
it.
Of these, except for Big Sick, also nominated for Best Picture. So you can see,
you know,
like, what kind of prestige these movies get.
I loved it. I watched it. I enjoyed it. I'm going Big Sick.
Okay, good.
I hope that it's Get Out, because again, it would be fun for a movie that is not the movie that we usually see up for awards to win one, but it won't win. It will be The Shape of Water. It won't win anything else, and therefore it will get this one.
You're really, really wrong on that. I actually think that Get Out has been nominated for a bunch of other stuff, and this is going to be like it was a good movie. It was very different. You're going to get screenplay. They're going to give them this. So
we're
I'm
going to
go
any of the other awards.
Screenplay, no. Okay? Get Out. All right?
I like it.
All right, let's move on. Do you guys want to jump into documentary feature? No, I'm just kidding. No one gives a shit, literally. we'll do directing.
Okay.
And I love this one. And then we'll get into acting and then best picture, okay?
Okay.
And cinematography. I'll do that one next. Directing. Christopher Nolan, Dunkirk. When this movie came out, I thought he's got it locked. And then everything else came out. Jordan Peele, Get Out. Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird. Paul Thomas Anderson, he wins every year. I'm not sure about this one. Phantom Thread. And Guillermo del Toro, Shape of Water. Barter.
I would love to give it to Dunkirk. I don't think, looking at the category, that they that has a chance. It was a great film. I enjoyed it. I don't think directing is the right category for that to win something.
Right.
So, based on what I've heard and the love of the film, I'm going to go Greta Gerwig, Lady Bird.
Okay. I love that. Give it to a woman. That's good. That's important. That would be huge.
They won't
pick based on that at all, of course.
No, because it's old white guys.
I'm going to go with Paul Thomas Anderson, Phantom Thread.
Hard to pick against that. Yeah. Really hard.
It is, unless the answer is Guillermo del Toro for Shape of Water.
I think that's a movie where
they're like, I think it's good because of the director, and that's sort of like the mindset you have to be in because of, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not like super confident on this one, you guys, but I'm going to go with Guillermo.
That's a hard category.
I know.
Because how much of the film falls to the director, right? Versus the acting, the screenplay, all of that stuff.
I know.
And I think you could very well be right.
I think he did this kind of like classical Hollywood directing job on it, and the whole movie is like a big throwback to Hollywood, which will come up later when I make further picks. And I think that these guys, these old white guys, love nothing more than like, ooh, a classic Hollywood movie, monster movie made, you know, modern. I love it. I think it's going to be Guillermo.
Did it win something else?
It's won a bunch of stuff. He won the BAMFA or whatever, which no one watches that, but it's sort of a big indicator. I look at all that shit when I make these picks because that's like the biggest predictor.
Oh, the BAFTA awards?
BAFTA, whatever the hell. All right, so we'll jump into cinematography. I care a lot about this one because my guy, Roger Deakins, is up. Deke boy, he's like done all these amazing movies.
Have you seen that? There's a YouTube video. So for anyone that's into cinematography or
really into movies and
good filmmaking in general,
all they know is like this movie looks amazing, but they don't know why. It's your cinematographer.
There's a YouTube video called Roger Deakins is a Loser, and it's got highlights, a highlight reel. It's like, I think maybe 7-8 minute video of the movies that he cinematographed on. And then
I think that's a verb. Let's go with
what his films lost to in the Academy
kind
Awards.
Kind of a joke sometimes. And sometimes like, oh, fuck. Well, I get it when you see.
He went up against a lot of good quality films. So it's kind of interesting to see. I'm going Roger Deakins. They got to give it to him. He could kick the bucket at any time. And he might not be doing movies.
And that movie, if nothing else, it's beautiful. Like literally, I mean. The movie maybe wasn't even all that great. And it was too long. It had some problems. I loved it, but it was mostly just amazing looking.
Let's go.
I'll just name the other ones too quick because I didn't even. Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Mudbound, and Shape of Water. To me, Dunkirk could very well win. And it would be a bit of a heartbreaker for Roger Deakins.
This is Leo.
I'm picking Blade Runner.
This is Leo winning Best Actor in the cinematography category.
Like, right.
Was up for nomination, hasn't won.
Went all out, two of the fours.
Yeah.
It's got to be, but he could get robbed once again.
I'm going Dunkirk.
Okay.
Tom Bolt.
I don't even know who did it. I think if you pulled up the name, I would know.
It was Hoyt Van Hoytema.
So he's done other Christopher Nolan movies, and he's considered very good.
I saw both. Dunkirk was a better movie. I really enjoyed both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dunkirk wins this one.
That's a movie where it's like so visually beautiful that
the sound
kind of like maybe why it's good
was,
is because
was
of that.
Big too. I mean,
yeah, Dunkirk's going to win all the sound editing. We're not going through
it. Yeah, their use of sound in that was the best of any movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I have Dunkirk winning both sound editing and mixing, but we're not doing that one. So, all right, let's jump into supporting actors and actresses. We have 5 left.
Okay.
We'll knock them out, okay? So let's do best actress in a supporting role. Mary J. Blige, Mudbound. Allison Janney, I, Tonya. Leslie Manville, Phantom Thread. Laurie Metcalf, Lady Bird. Octavia Spencer, The Shape of Water. Did anybody see any of these movies? Do we really care, or is just me making my pick quick?
We have to make the pick.
Yes, just make the pick.
We have to make the pick.
I'm going to go Mary J. Blige, Mudbound, because that's the only one that I've seen.
Okay, sure.
I'm just going to just guess. I'm going to go with Laurie Metcalf from Lady Bird.
Okay, I'm going to go, and that's probably, that could win, but I'm going to go with Allison Janney. All I've heard is that she's the best part of the movie. That's why I'm picking her. All right, we're going to go to best actor in a supporting role. William Dafoe, Florida Project. Woody Harrelson, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Richard Jenkins, The Shape of Water. Christopher Plummer, All the Money in the World, which he kind of famously took over for disgraced Kevin...
Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, when he was like out the movie and they had to quick reshoot it. And then Sam Rockwell, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Kind of interesting to have... I think... I don't know if they've ever had two actors or actresses nominated in a supporting role for the same movie. Kind of cool.
I'm gonna go Sam.
Yeah.
I think that's the safe pick.
I'm going to go Sam.
That's the safe pick. That's what I'm picking. I haven't even seen the movie, and Sam that's Rockwell. My pick.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do best actress in a leading role. Sally Hawkins, Shape of Water, Frances McDormand, Three Billboards, Margot Robbie, I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan, Lady Bird, Meryl Streep, The Post. Bardier, what you got?
Again, haven't seen any of these, unfortunately. And I want to.
Doesn't matter.
I want to see them.
Shouldn't matter when you're making your picks.
You know what?
I don't think the people that vote on these watch them. That's why I don't have to watch them when I make my picks.
I'm going to go safe. I'm going to go Meryl Streep. I don't think that's going to win. I think they wanted to give it to somebody else, but I'm going to go Meryl for safe.
Because she always wins, and she has a million.
I'm going to go Frances McDormand for Three Billboards.
That's a good pick.
That's what I'm picking as well.
I should. You know what? I'm changing my pick to that. I'm going to go Frances too.
No.
Why?
You can't. We can't. All right, no. All right, you made your pick.
Fine.
The pick is
Meryl.
Picked.
Let's go Meryl.
Frances McDormand. She's awesome. She's so good. I'm sure she made that movie awesome. I haven't seen it. I don't care. You guys ready? Best actor. Second to last. Best actor in a supporting, a leading role. Timothée Chalamet, Call Me By Your Name. Daniel Day-Lewis, Phantom Thread. Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out. Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour. Or Denzel Washington in Roman J. Israel, Esquire.
I think it's hard to Esquire.
What is that?
Esquire.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
I think it's hard to pick against. From everything that I've heard, Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour, he's been up for a lot of stuff. I don't know if he's won.
I think he's won Best Supporting Actor like twice or something. I don't think he's won a leading role.
And he doesn't get a lot of those. So I think it's hard to pick against him. I've heard so many great things about him playing Winston Churchill.
Yep.
I think it's an easy play.
I'm going with Daniel Day-Lewis in his final film, getting yet another honor. Everyone says how he's the greatest actor ever, and no one sees his movies.
No, I see all his movies pretty much, and they're always pretty damn good. Yeah. I won't see this one. Maybe I will. So it's hard to pick against Daniel Day-Lewis in his supposedly final role. He could very well Jay-Z us and come out with like four new albums after this, but, I don't think that he's going to win. I think his next Oscar will be a Lifetime Achievement Award. And I think Gary Oldman will win for Darkest Hour. Apparently, he's goddamn incredible in his full-ass makeup. Just killing it. Looking way better than that tall-ass dude that played him in The Crown.
John Lithgow?
Way too tall for that role.
I know you're anti-tall.
I got a major problem with the height difference on there. All right, you guys ready for Best Picture?
Yep. Best Picture.
Yep, here All right, we go. So... What do they have, like 10 or something? Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Barter, what you got?
Well, I don't think it's going to be Darkest Hour or Dunkirk. I don't think it's going to be Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is going to come down to Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, Shape of Water, and Three Billboards. I'm going to go Three Billboards, and I'm going to go that because it cleaned up at the Screen Actors Guild. Maybe that won. I think it won Best Picture for that. So I'm going to go with Three Billboards.
If you are still with us and you've been paying attention to my picks, you know it is obvious that I am doing
Dunkirk.
The same. No, I'm doing the same. I'm going with Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. I've picked whoever from pretty much each of those categories for that movie. I didn't see it. It looks horribly boring to me.
No. It's probably really good.
I'm sure it's great, honestly.
There's a lot of movies packed with action that could be just so damn boring.
No, I agree. It just looks really bad to me. I don't know why. The trailer, it looks terrible, and it looks like it's full of some of the funniest moments, and they're not funny to me. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it looks really bad, but it has been cleaning up. I assume it will continue to clean up. It is my choice for Best Picture.
Okay, so I think that's not a horrible pick. I think that's would be my second option. And then you can probably throw in like Lady Bird as like a possible sleeper. But I will go with The Shape of Water for the same reasons I outlined when I said that it was going to win original, what did I say, adapted screenplay? Or I don't remember which one I said, no. But I think that they're going to give it to that because it's a bunch of old Hollywood dudes voting on a movie that kind of like throws it back for them. And plus, it's sort of been cleaning up. Shape of Water, there's my 10 picks. We've all given 10 picks.
You didn't pick Shape of Water for any of the writing. You picked it for directing.
For directing.
Okay.
Okay. Yep, you're right. So, yeah, I mean, that's it. And I'll probably get like, 4 out of 10. So let's see. We'll talk about this next week.
I'm feeling confident I'm going to get 5 out of 10.
I think you guys are going to like really do poorly. But I think I might also do poorly.
Well, so moving forward, we need to do a Beat Jimmy Channels challenge.
Yeah.
And I think we should do it.
It'd be funny to like reach out to people. On social media. Yeah. And see, like, submit picks. Like, honestly, if you're listening now, submit some picks.
Here.
See if you can do better than me. I could post my whole sheet with all of the, because I have visual effects on here. It's going to be War for the Planet.
Here's what we're going to do.
If you're curious.
Hold on. Here's what we're going to do. Bart is going to set this up. I'm going to call myself out publicly.
Yeah.
What we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to put something on Instagram. I'm going to get a Google survey going.
Okay.
We're going to let individual folks fill out an Oscars
form.
A Google form. Individual folks can fill out a Google form. It's the Beat Jimmy Channels challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever beats, if you beat Jimmy Channels, which is a long shot, but if you beat him on all of these picks, the top point getter we'll get a free Nordy's Podcast hat.
That's pretty good.
That's good stuff right there.
All right, let's do
it. It's not going to be anything. We're not going
to. We got this week to do it, so we'll get it going tomorrow.
I'll send it out tomorrow. We're not gonna take your email and sign you up for all this crap. Like, it's not going to be anything like that. And then if there's a tie at the top, we'll figure out some sort of a tiebreaker. We'll maybe draw it live on Instagram or something
we'll just
like that. We're not going to do anything. That'd be fun. Beat Jimmy Channels challenge. In the Oscar picks.
And those, we'll just do the top 10.
The top 10.
Even though I might put my whole sheet out there just so you can see, and then maybe I'll like highlight, whatever. You got this.
We'll figure it out. But it doesn't matter what your picks are. They can, they just need to go out and fill out the Google form. And if they beat you, then someone will win an Nordy's Podcast hat and we'll send it to you.
All right, perfect. I love it.
What a great idea. Thank you.
I think that.
I'm thanking myself.
We might even give one out if somebody gets close. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not going to get beat. I probably will.
You won't.
I probably will, but we'll see. Somebody's getting a hat.
All right. So finally, final thing of the day, our curtain call. What are we watching currently?
Not well, you guys, much. I mean, Eric has some stuff. I might just say a couple things quickly. A couple things really not worth watching. I watched Mute. I didn't like it. I don't know why I wasted so much time.
That's on Netflix.
Duncan Jones, I'm like thinking like, look, this guy, he's really what like, God damn it. Ryan Johnson is.
Right.
Cause they like both had like, he had Looper, right? Ryan Johnson had Looper. It's like, oh, this guy's got potential. Well, Duncan Jones had Moon. I mean, it's like, oh, he's got potential with sci-fi movies. And then Duncan Jones made, Warcraft. And then he made this Mute movie, which was really no good at all, with great actors. I mean, Paul Rudd. Did Paul Rudd really, like, does he make bad movies? Is he ever, like, bad in a movie? Not really. Well, the movie's no good. I'm not going to waste any more time on it. Don't watch it. I made a lot of hype about Altered Carbon. And I will say this. It's so hard sci-fi that if you like sci-fi, it edges towards good sci-fi. And if you don't watch it. Because it might just not be that good. The budget's incredible, and there's some really interesting sequences that could only happen in a show of big budget. There's a point where, like, this cop is, like, in this big glass atrium room, and all these, like, naked female clones are jumping out and attacking her one after the other. It's wild as can be. And it's big budget. I mean, it looks cool. But at the end of the day, pretty bad movie. Or bad show. Just not worth watching. That's what I've been watching. Barter, you got anything?
I don't have a lot. I'm still on Counterpart for the eight of us that watch Stars yeah. TV shows. J.K. Simmons is pretty good in this role. I think it's entertaining.
Roles, really,
technically. Yeah. I really enjoy it. It's got a lot of intrigue. It's a slow burn, right? There's a lot of aspects where you're like, nothing's really happening, but they're telling a long story. And so I'm into it for the long run. And it's nice to see a story like that where a lot of stuff is just upfront in your face. Like you're talking about Altered Carbon. A lot of it's this like hard sci-fi, a lot of visual effects, a lot of things like in your face that they're trying to wow you with. This is more of a storytelling one, and I enjoy that.
All right, I've been diving in a little deeper into Netflix recently. The first show I've been watching is Big Mouth, which I believe the CEO of Netflix or some bigwig from Netflix just said might be their best show that they've ever put out. Now, is it their best show? Probably not. Stranger Things is quite a bit better, and that's just to name a show.
Right.
But this is like a comedy, like a really inappropriate comedy about growing up and puberty and sex and your body.
Animated.
Is this a cartoon? Yeah.
It's animated. It's Nick Kroll.
Who's great, right?
With a star-studded cast, and it is really funny. It's really inappropriate. It's
uncomfortable at times, isn't it?
It's like a much more inappropriate version of Family Guy. You know, like it's really, really,
wow,
really
is it like the League?
Inappropriate.
Then,
yeah, it is. But it's like kids like getting their period for the first time and like having the hormone monster show up and
who is an actual character?
Yes, who is a character, and it, like whenever he shows up, like no matter what's happening, like the character has to jerk off, and it's. It's so inappropriate, and it is a bit uncomfortable, but it's really funny. They did a great job. It's a fun show. The other show I've been watching on Netflix also is Queer Eye, which you guys might remember as Queer Eye for the Straight Guy about 15 years ago.
So they've renamed it?
They've just renamed it Queer Eye.
Okay.
It's not for the straight guy. It's for any guy. And it's a really...
Oh, it's not. So they've changed the format.
Yeah, they changed the format.
It's not a team of gay men for one straight guy?
It still is. So it's five gay men who go and like make over someone's life. Now, it's a updated version where they actually, they're renovating your house and they're teaching you to cook and they're showing you how to dress. And it's all filmed in Georgia. And so some of the people that they are working with are gay or old or young. It doesn't matter. Just any man in need of some help.
Okay.
And I think the best part about it is that they carefully chose the people that they're working with. So a lot of them are like old Southern men or like police officers from the South or firefighters from the South or, you know, just people who in Atlanta, Georgia, where they filmed it, must have been cheap to film there.
It is. You know, that's where Walking Dead's been filmed forever. Everything's filmed there.
Yeah.
I think most of Black Panther was filmed in Atlanta.
Yeah, so I think it's just like they went out and they found people who would be interesting for the world we live in 2018. And so the show is really, it was something I wasn't excited to watch. It was something great to watch with a significant other. And it was something that I didn't want to like or I didn't think I would. It was not my type of TV show, but it
right,
was actually...
like when it was on the first time, it was like on Bravo or something and it was... I mean, it was sort of a cultural phenomenon at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't, like, considered good TV.
No, and honestly, that's the thing. I thought it was going to be, like, just mindless crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. It was actually really good. It's really smart. They did an awesome job with it. And so it was a surprise show, probably one of the surprise shows of the year for me. Something I wasn't expecting to like and something that I ended up almost binge-watching because I did think it was pretty good.
Well, the original show was so good and entertaining because... I fell into the demographic of t-shirt, jeans, Vans, you know, tennis shoes, whatever. I mean, when I had hair, just do whatever.
Long, like flowing locks.
I kind of did. It was kind of like semi-curly. It was decent. that's all long in the past. But I fell into that demographic of like, well, shit, I could be doing a lot better, right? Mm-hmm. And it, like, I didn't care who was telling me you could improve your look by doing these simple tricks or clean up your apartment or here's how to make these easy meals. I was like the perfect demo for, you know, the people that they were trying to help.
You were the straight guy that right. was like, yeah, I need a queer eye right now. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was when we didn't have TV options. Let's keep that in mind.
Right. But they were also like, even the characters on the not the characters, but like the well, guys that were doing the makeovers character. Were really fun, really entertaining.
A lot of those guys super have gone friendly. On. I mean, isn't the one guy doing like Chopped?
Ted Allen. Know,
Ted Allen doing Chopped. I don't
he
know.
Was the chef guy.
I can't remember the all the.
Carson Kressley was the stylist guy. There's a couple other design, like interior, or maybe he was the interior designer guy.
Anyway, I don't remember, but you'll still see those guys. I mean, like, right. they've done around. Things. Yeah.
They're super nice. They're super friendly. They were entertaining as hell. They were all funny. It was great. It was a phenomenal show. And being gay publicly on TV was kind of a new thing at that time, right? Yeah. That wasn't, I mean, maybe The Real World had a couple characters here and there.
They're almost like parodies of themselves at that point.
And that was only on MTV. Right, it wasn't a big deal, and so this show was like, we're putting it out there, and enjoy it or not. And I found it way more enjoyable than I probably ever thought that I would. And it's probably the same way Eric feels about the reboot. And I definitely am gonna have to check it out because I enjoy the original. So if the reboot's good, it should be good.
Well, and from everything I've heard about it, and I haven't watched it yet, but it's on the list. My TV list is like kind of crazy, but I've just heard that it's like, it's like a little bit more than just what it used to be. It's sort of like people are really thinking this is kind of like some special TV here. This is like kind of a special show. And it's sort of like, I don't know if that could ever be prestige television, probably not because of the format and it's reality TV and whatever, but it's like kind of gathering a lot of buzz. So I'm really glad that Eric brought it in now instead of like a month and a half when everybody's talking about it and we're like, yeah, but like, you know, Eric did watch that show, but we never talked about it then. I think this thing could be really big and it's brand new. I mean, it was released 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, like I said,
it's got some really like big moments,
huge moments. And it's an emotional show. They do.
Can you give us a, for instance, on one of the big moments?
One like, of them is like, generally? They have a police officer. Like he looks like Farva.
Okay. So mustache, looks like a police
yeah,
officer.
Mustache, like a set, yeah.
Fat white police officer from the South. And they have a guy on there, a black guy who I believe he was on The Real World. And now he's kind of maybe the star of the show. And they have this whole moment where they talk about police violence and, you know, how there's misunderstanding on both sides of this debate about Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter and, you know, how police officers are living in a tough time now because a few bad police officers have given so many bad names. And I don't know. I mean, they did a great job, like, touching on race relations as well as, you know, sexuality. And I think they've just, they have important conversations about things like depression. And, I mean, they just do such a great job of kind of going in, helping all these different types of people.
Because there's a reason that these, whatever the things that they're trying to help you with are lagging behind as the person who's the, like, on the show, right? It's not just because you're lazy and you don't want to keep your apartment clean. There's other reasons, and they kind of get into that. Is that what you're hinting
at? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny, and they just did a great job. And like I said, it was a show that I expected to be just like mindless trash, and I actually really liked it. Now, my one complaint would be that the first episode is by far the best episode.
Oh, okay.
they knock it. The first episode is just incredible television, and it's not downhill from there. I mean, it's not bad by any means. It's still a really nice show the whole way through, but the first episode, by far, the best episode.
Well, so it's The Walking Dead, where it was like one of the best pilots of all time.
Your first hit of crack
always
is
going to be downhill.
the first line of blow you do is the best one, right? I mean, that's the same concept.
Yeah, yeah. Barter, you'd know.
Well.
You fucking psycho.
Sorry.
All right. So go check those shows out. There's a bunch of good stuff on right now. Even if we're in like the doldrums of television and we haven't got some of the biggest name shows out there, there are good things.
Dude, next month is going to be big. It's going to be fun.
And it's only going to get better. So go check those things out. I know this was a long episode, long week of podcasts. Hopefully you guys checked out our podcast earlier in the week where we were at High, our sports cast, and now our screencast. But thanks so much for listening to so much content from the Nordies podcast. And also, go take down Jimmy Channels. Win a hat. We'll send that information out on social media tomorrow. And hopefully you can pick the Oscars better than we can. So that's all the time we have this week. A long week of pods. Thanks so much for listening and supporting us as always. We'll be back with you guys next week.